welcome to episode 107 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy and Laura. This week, we're also thrilled to welcome George Eckebert from Paradise Found Vacations. George is going on 4 years as an agency owner, just about the same as me, and is getting ready to launch his own podcast, Toes in the Sand, which will focus on all-inclusive resort news and reviews. He recently returned from Punta Cana, where he was able to visit several resorts. We're eager to hear what he thought, so let's get started. All right, so let's start with basic geography, George, just for people who don't know. Where is Punta Cana?
So Punta Cana is actually in the Dominican Republic, which is the east half of the island along with Haiti. So I wasn't all that familiar with the Dominican before I went. And one of the days we were there, we actually took an excursion and had a local guide. So he was a wealth of knowledge about the country and the island in general.
Oh, wonderful.
That's cool.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah, that's. I think that island is sort of unique in that most Caribbean islands aren't divided that way. You know, you go to an island and the whole island is usually the country. It's not always the case, but so that's sort of, that's an oddity in the Caribbean.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, they have some political history between those two, too.
I imagine they would. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you were just there and a hurricane just sort of ripped through and did a lot of damage once again to Haiti. How was the rest of the island?
So at least the part we were on from the Punta Cana end, because it's so far east and it's actually slightly north and just around the point, I guess you would call it, on the east end. They really didn't get anything there. So, but I did hear that further down around the corner got a lot more flooding in from the storm surge. But Punta Cana, you couldn't tell there was anything there.
Wow.
So is that the Bavaro area? Is that?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
So were you there during the hurricane?
No. We were there.
Shoo.
the weekend after.
Wow.
In fact, I was even kind of worried that week that the hurricane, after it was coming through Florida, was going to swing up the coast and we weren't even going to get out of the airport. But then when it kind of did that little hook and turned around and stalled, we were all set.
Yeah, when it hung out in North Carolina.
Yeah.
You're welcome. That's the one.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Although, honestly, it really didn't do that much damage here. We had some flooding.
Are you kidding?
But, compared to other hurricanes, yes. And I do apologize to the people in the east who are underwater.
Veer off just a tad bit. I go running in this around this lake in Raleigh. It's near Crabtree that always floods, the mall here that always floods. If you know anything about Raleigh, you know that. The dirt on the trees where you can see where the water line was like 10 feet high.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy how everything flooded.
I almost had lakefront property here. I mean, it didn't quite come up the street because there's a big enough hill, but that lake was really kind of crazy. So, so I'm not saying that we didn't have damage. I'm just saying
the flooding was bad.
It has been far worse here. It could have been even worse than that. Anyway, back to Punta Cana. So you are in Connecticut, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so how did your air take you? What were your options for getting down there?
So because it was a fam, I didn't really have any options. You basically gave them which airport you wanted to fly out of, and they set up all the flights.
Okay.
So it actually worked out pretty well. They booked me Southwest from Hartford to Baltimore and then a short layover in Baltimore to Punta Cana.
Okay, that's not bad at all. Did you look at what other options you might have had you done this on your own?
Yeah, I know that JetBlue, at least out of Boston, does nonstop direct flights. So that would have been another option too. But this one really wasn't that bad, and I like Southwest. So
yeah, that is nice. Well, that's actually one issue that we have here in North Carolina is a lot of our least expensive options tend to go north first. We can connect to the Southwest flight out of Baltimore as well. And then there's connections through JFK and Philadelphia as well, which, of course, is a nightmare if you're going in the winter, which is, of course, when you want to go. But there are other options. They just do sort of bump your price up a little bit in general.
You can go to Miami.
Yeah, you can go through Miami or you can go through Atlanta. So, all right. So where did you stay in Punta Cana? Tell us.
We stayed at the brand new Excellence El Carmen. I think it's been open maybe 45 days.
Yeah, I was going to say like 45 minutes almost. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, in fact, they were still controlling occupancy to keep the levels down so that they could slowly break in the staff in the resort, which was a good thing. There's overall, the experience was very good. It's not my kind of resort. Have you stayed at any Excellence Resorts before?
I haven't. I've seen one, but I haven't actually stayed there. I mean, it was a beautiful resort.
I visited in Cancun.
Yeah, I was in Cancun.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one's very concrete and glass and super modern. Mm-hmm. But just walking through the lobby and even walking through the resort, you know, give it a year when the landscaping starts to come in, it might look different. Mm-hmm. But right now, you just don't have that I'm in the Caribbean feel. It's lots of grass and a lot of sand and very wide open and not at all what I thought it was going to be like. It wasn't bad, but I'd have to really qualify clients to make sure that's what they're looking for.
So did you feel like you were at a Marriott? Is that...
It was almost like they took a resort from Scottsdale and dropped it in Punta Cana.
So was it a new build or was
yes, brand spanking
okay.
new.
Okay, cool.
Although one night we did go for dinner, we went up. It's maybe a mile away is the Excellence Punta Cana. And that's, to me, that reminded me of like the Sandals. Lots of wood, open air lobbies, ceiling fans, little pools and rivers and bridges and tons of foliage and... You just had that I'm in the tropics feel.
Oh, interesting. So two resorts from the same family, but definitely very different.
Very different.
How far were you from the airport?
It was about a 35, maybe 40 minute ride.
Okay.
That area is way up in the northern end of Punta Cana. So it was probably the farthest out of all the resorts. And that's where all the building is going on is up in the northern end.
Mm-hmm.
So, and how are the roads getting there?
Not bad at all. Okay. They've, from what I hear, they've just recently put in a bunch of highways and they've done a lot of paving and improvements. So, no problem at all. It's just a little weird getting used to the roads down there. As you know, there's no speed limits and, very few stop signs and lights. It's just kind of free for all.
Yeah. Well, you weren't driving, so that's good. Was it a small... Did you do it like a private transfer, or were you in a small shuttle group? Or
no, so we actually use the same transfer company that... So the whole trip was put on by the Mark Travel Corp, which is basically Funjet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually use their shuttle company. So, no, it was funny enough, the flight from Baltimore to Punta Cana, I had the rep from the travel company.
Oh.
On the same flight. She walked on and I saw the sweatshirt with a big Funjet logo and I thought, what are the odds?
Hmm.
Yep. So she's happened to sit in the row in front of me and I asked if she was leaving the fam and she said, oh yes. So that was pretty interesting. So I ended up riding with her, which was nice because she was familiar with the area and was able to give me some tips and tricks and stuff on the way from the airport to the resort.
Oh, that's great. So how was your customs experience getting in?
Very smooth. So in the past, when I've sent clients there, I've actually purchased ahead of time for them the $10 tourist visa mm-hmm. online to help them avoid the lines. And, you know, when I got there, there really wasn't any. It was really quick and smooth and we breezed right through.
Okay.
So no issues with that at all.
Cool. So let's talk about where else you went. So you stayed at the Excellence Resort the whole time, right?
Well, there's one I really totally want to hear about.
Yeah, I kind of want to hear
about it. I want to hear about the Nickelodeon Resort.
Do tell.
Yeah, the Nick was really interesting because I'll be honest, it totally was not what I thought it was going to be when I had read about it in advance.
Well, there were Ninja Turtles, right? I mean,
they have Ninja Turtles, they have SpongeBob, they have Dora the Explorer. So, yeah, they had a pretty big group, but you know, that's what I thought when we got off the bus. I'm thinking, okay, here we go. I'm going to run into somebody in a SpongeBob costume, bounce around, wanting to give hugs. And that was not it at all.
Oh. Yay.
yeah. So other than really the colors and the theming, so you had a lot of oranges and yellows and the Nickelodeon colors, but you were in any other upscale resort. Now the Nick is actually done by Charisma.
Right.
So you can see their touches pretty much all over the resort.
And they're an upscale. They're pretty nice.
Yes. Known for good food and right. Yeah.
Yes.
So and that Nickelodeon resort is fairly new as well. It opened in May, if memory serves me correct.
That's correct. And what's interesting about the Nick is it's actually a shared resort. So half of the resort is Nickelodeon and the other half is Sensatori.
Oh.
Which is apparently it's a UK brand.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be in the UK to book it, but so as you're walking through the pass between two buildings, you'll see the pillows out on the loungers If they're orange and yellow, it's a Nickelodeon building. If they're, I think it was like a teal blue, you knew it was a Sensatori building.
And do they have sharing privileges? Like folks could go between the two or not?
For the most part, I believe they did, mostly from Sensatori to Nick. I don't think they all went back the other way.
Because Sensatori is adult only, isn't it?
I did some research this week trying to find out, and I don't know if it's just filtered, but I could not find a whole lot about them.
Yeah, you know, I actually, there's some confusion that happens when I send people to the Charisma Resort in, El Dorado, what is it called? Seaside or Suites. And it used to be a Sensatori Resort, and now the Sensatori Resort has moved, but people are reading the reviews for the Sensatori Resort thinking it's their resort. So they've asked me questions about it. So that's why I feel like it's an adult only brand, but I could be wrong about that. So sorry. Well, we could look it up, but we don't sell to people in the UK.
Just send us an email. Yeah, we'll find out. For sure.
Yeah.
But the theming of the whole resort was amazing. The restaurants were very interesting. They had one that was like a space theme, and it actually had a NASA astronaut suit and all kinds of really cool lighting and effects on the wall. And what else did they have? They had one that was like an American burger shop. So when you walked in, it was all brick walls, but they actually had a food truck in there. Mm-hmm. And that's where they served the food out of. So it was really cool.
So when you say Nickelodeon, I think a lot of people automatically think, you know, ages 0 to 10. Although Nickelodeon does obviously have some, you know, teen shows, it's not something that we normally associate. So would you put teenagers there? Do you think they would be happy there?
Yeah, I would. So it was, you got the main road that runs along along the strip, and all of the resorts usually are between the road and the water. Mm-hmm. With the Nick, it was so big that they actually put a tunnel that goes from the resort side under the road and up onto the other side. So on one side, you have the restaurants, the beach, the pools. On the backside is the kids club, the character meet and greet area, and an enormous water park.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So if your teenagers are into water parks, they would love that resort.
And this is like a cool water park with big slides and things like that. Not just a splash park.
No. Big slides, dump buckets, you know, what you'd find in a regular water park. In addition, you know, the basketball courts and tennis courts and all that stuff were all over there too.
That's very interesting.
But yeah, really nice resort. And then they had shuttle service that ran back and forth from the lobby to the other side of the road. So you could hop on basically a little golf cart and you didn't have to walk. They'd take you back and forth.
Did you get slimed?
I did not.
I don't know how you can say you were there.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even believe you were there now.
Yeah, that was the part. It really wasn't. If you were thinking it's going to be, you know, in your face Nickelodeon, it really wasn't. There wasn't a lot of that kind of stuff. You at least on the resort side, other than one of the rooms is a giant pineapple. You wouldn't even know you were at a Nick property.
Did you get to see that room, the inside of that room?
We did not. There's only one, and somebody had it booked. But I did look at the pricing, and it's up there.
Yeah. So is it like a couple bedrooms or?
Yeah, it's a suite. It's okay. Like,
yeah.
And supposedly it's very much like SpongeBob's house.
That's so cool. So
there's not under the sea, which is probably a good thing for everybody.
Are the beaches public in Punta Cana?
I believe that they are. This is funny, but I am really not a beach person.
I'm the same way.
Well, this is the classic travel agent thing, isn't it? Everybody's like, so how was the beach? And you're like, I forgot to go to the beach. I didn't have a chance to go to the beach. I was looking at the rooms.
You want to know how the pools were? I could tell you.
I know about the bars and the pools.
Yeah, pool
and
bars.
The restaurants.
Yeah.
George, how was it accessibility-wise for folks who might have mobility challenges or...
Well, you know, the resorts down there, they don't have to follow the ADA standards like we do up here. But the new resorts, I didn't see anything at Nick, but I know that the Excellence El Carmen we stayed at, every building had elevators. So there wouldn't have been no issue with anybody, even in a wheelchair, getting around. It would have been pretty easy.
There are ramps to and from the pool areas, and it wasn't all stairs.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. I know that when we walked down into the in the big pool with the pool bar, there was all ramps.
And walkways?
Walkways are pretty wide.
Are they smooth or gravel or?
You know, it depended on the resort. Some of the old ones had tile, which would have been no problem. The new one, it actually looks like they used concrete, but that they used coral in it. So you didn't really want to walk on it barefoot. It was a little bit rough, but wheelchairs or walkers, you probably wouldn't have had an issue. And where there wasn't concrete, it was, you know, wood, like a wood deck.
Thanks. So, I appreciate that.
Yep.
So tell me about, I see on, I have your itinerary here that you sent us. Yep. Looks so awesome. Tell me, another one that I really loved, I looked at this one in Cancun, was the Hard Rock. So how was the Hard Rock Punta Cana?
You know, I had really good expectations for the Hard Rock when I went there because I've heard so much about it and I've been to the restaurants, but I had never visited a resort. It is enormous, is an understatement. So they actually have two completely separate lobbies, one for groups, one for individuals.
Wow.
The groups lobby is, you could fit 1,000 people just in the lobby. So it's really big. They do real large scale conventions there.
And concerts and stuff. Yeah.
Concerts, corporate meetings. Yeah. They do all kinds of stuff. So that was pretty nice. It's like walking into a mall. So between the buildings, there's shops and restaurants and bars and, man, just about everything you could think of.
So what was the, this is going to seem really random and maybe you won't know because I know you only get to spend a few hours there, but what was the noise level like with that big of a resort, that many people and with a big casino there? How did you feel the noise was?
We went there pretty early in the day, so I don't imagine there was a ton of people up yet. I think it was the first, it was 9 o'clock. It was the first fam of the day.
Okay.
So yeah, it was, so there wasn't a ton of people. The lobby didn't seem too bad. They have a ton of restaurants. I can't remember how many they said they had, 13, 14.
Wow.
So, and most of them are all up in the front section. And then there's three down in the back toward the beach. Now, when you're talking about accessibility, this is the one that I would probably not recommend. I think it was built a while ago. And at the time, it seemed to be real common to, you had the ocean and the beach, and then there's an access road that runs along in front of that, and then all the pools stretch across the front of the resort, and then it's nothing but buildings from there all the way to the back. So literally, if you had a room that was anywhere near the lobby, you're looking at a 20-25 minute walk just to get to the beach or the pools.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. It is a huge resort.
And so then if you're staying sort of closer to the beach and the pools, if you pay for that higher level, then that probably would eliminate some of the noise for the same idea. If all the action is happening back.
Yeah.
That
would make sense. But then again, you got that long walk now back for food because all the buffets and stuff were back mostly in the lobby area.
Okay.
Wow. So they do have, like, I guess you'd call them little tram shuttles and little stations. Mm-hmm. So like a hop on, hop off type thing scheduled or kind of around the resort in various areas. So if you didn't want to walk, you could stop and wait for the shuttle.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have that really intimate, small resort feel because it is so big.
Yeah.
But if you're into music and, you know, you're 22, 23 and you're looking to dance the night away, that's the place. They had a couple of beautiful dance clubs and bars, and it was kind of funny because they don't even open till 1.
A.M.?
Wow. Yeah. Like, you can tell what demographic we are. We're like,
oh,
what?
My gosh.
Well, and this one is one that I think would be really good for teenagers, too, because, the one in Cancun did this. I assume that this one does, too. But they would have, like, a different day of the week. They had, like, a rock band you could go learn to play, and then you perform later. And then they had, like, karaoke, you know, and, like, stuff like that. So.
Yeah, they had a little booth where you could practice and learn how to play. And then at night when they opened up the nightclub, they had a stage with a real fancy background. Yeah, and you could go play whatever it was you learned that day.
Yeah. And all the Hard Rocks, even like the Universal Studios, one in Orlando, that Hard Rock Hotel, you can check guitars out at the front desk, which is really cool.
And this, I think, Punta Cana is sort of the jewel of the all-inclusive Hard Rock line. Is that your experience as well? Like this is sort of the ultimate.
It was the only one I visited.
Okay.
Well, so I don't know. I've never been to any of the other ones. It's supposed to be pretty big.
Yeah, Riviera Maya is also a really nice one. I've toured the one that's in Cancun proper in the hotel zone.
That's the one I was at.
Yeah, it's a little bit more low key. With for Hard Rock is not saying much.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't remember.
they still had parties and like, what do they call them? Whipped cream parties or whatever, where they like dump all this like foam on your head while you're dancing or whatever. Yeah.
No, yeah, I didn't see
them doing that inside, but they do it in the pools quite a bit.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. At a lot of the resorts, they have foam parties in the afternoon.
There you go. Wildy crazy kids.
Uh-huh.
So we just mentioned the casino at Hard Rock. Did any of the other resorts that you toured have casinos in them?
Yes. I'm trying to think of which one it was. There were two or three that had casinos, all fairly small compared to Hard Rock's. Theirs was really big. In fact, not only did it have tables, but it actually had a sports betting area.
Oh, wow.
Which was nice. Yes, you could go bet on pretty much any of the sports in addition to playing cards and your usual table games.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. So what was your favorite resort that you looked at?
That was tough. Mm-hmm. So I guess if I was to book myself, I really like the Excellence Punta Cana. Mm-hmm. And I really like the Majestic Resorts. And now that they have two already open and a third one opening in December, they really have three resorts and all different price ranges and different amenities. So you could find a good fit for a client in any one of the three.
Are they all in Punta Cana?
They are. That's the only place they are. And one of the other things that I didn't realize is that the Majestic Resorts are the only non-timeshare properties in Punta Cana.
Oh. Wow.
Noted.
Yep.
Yeah, really? Wow.
So
yeah,
they will not hassle you to purchase a timeshare if you send people there, which was different than all the other resorts.
Yes. I actually had clients come back with a timeshare from Hard Rock. They didn't really want it. They just weren't very good at saying no. So
that is a hard sell.
She actually came back and asked me how to get rid of it. I was like, oh, hon, I don't know.
It's like the worst. I have a timeshare too. Yeah.
Yeah. Our guide said Hard Rock is the most aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try and sell their timeshares.
Yeah, this couple is just so nice. It's like two of the nicest people I've ever met. And I think they just wanted to be nice. So they bought like the lowest level, you know. And
maybe they'll use it. I mean, I do use
Actually, them. I think she's already gotten rid of it. I think she already got rid of it. Yeah, she knew pretty much right away that she didn't want it. So, yeah. And they do have like a buyer's remorse clause. Yeah. So I think she might have invoked that. But
luckily for her.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Now, the new Majestic Resort is called Majestic Mirage. And the new thing about that is it's an all suite resort. And the rooms start at 1,000 square feet.
Wow, that's bigger than my first apartment in Raleigh.
They are enormous rooms. We couldn't get to see it. The resort's not quite far enough along where they were letting tours go through yet. But the pictures I've seen of it on their website look pretty amazing.
So you wouldn't know price point on those yet either as far as is it mid-range? Is it high range?
It's going to be higher. Okay. So you have Majestic Colonials, kind of, I guess you'd call it their entry level. And then Majestic Elegance is the next step up. And then Majestic Mirage will be higher end. But even at Majestic Elegance, which is will be their mid resort, it usually prices out pretty well against most everything else. I guess it's pretty comparable to, say, Royalton.
Okay. Royalton can be a great deal sometimes.
Yeah.
Now,
what did you like about Majestic?
I like the way it's laid out. So in Punta Cana, because land prices got so expensive, they went from that very vertical building across so that everything was ocean view to building exactly the opposite way. So the buildings are all perpendicular to the water. So unless you're on the end, you have no ocean view. So what they did is they built all the pools kind of run from the water back toward the lobby. So no matter where you are, if you're on the second or third floor and you don't have a swim up, you can walk out the stairs and there's a pool out there relatively close. You don't have a long walk to find anything. They just redid the buffet in Majestic Colonial. And it's basically a cook to order buffet. So most of the cold foods and the prepared stuff, your pastas and salads and that kind of stuff are all out where you can just grab some. But if you're looking for a piece of meat or something that you'd want hot and fresh, they will cook it right then and there for you. Which is different for a buffet. You know, usually you walk up and there's a whole tray of pork chops and God knows how long it's been sitting there.
Yeah. Well, and even if you're getting like prime rib or whatever, they're carving it there, but it was cooked quite a while ago, obviously.
Yeah. Yep. So that was something new. They had just renovated the buffet at that particular resort, and that was something new they were trying. And the food actually looked really good. And we had lunch at Majestic Elegance, and it was probably some of the best buffet food I've that we had actually there the whole week.
Okay, so I know, you know, as travel agents, we don't get to wear our swim shorts to every resort and test out the pools. But from what you saw, who had the best pool bar? That's what I want to know.
Wow. Well, I can say that the pool bar at Excellence El Carmen was okay at best.
Okay.
So that wouldn't be top on my list.
That's the new one, though, right?
We actually went to... It was called Ocean Blue and Sand. It's one that I'd never heard about before, and it was pretty nice. The pool bar there was really hopping, and I don't know if it was the bartenders or the fact that it was raining and there was nothing else to do but sit at the pool bar.
Because that's what I like to do when it's rainy, is get in the pool and drink.
It doesn't bother me.
It was pretty crowded.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what you actually, because I know it wasn't all resorts. You got to do an excursion, right?
We did.
So what did you do?
Which was kind of interesting. Yeah. So yeah, they signed us up with a company called Bavaro Runners, who met us at the hotel in their open air, I don't even know what you want to call it, like a truck, like a safari type truck.
A Jeep kind of thing?
Basically, it probably had four or five rows of three people each seat, so... had plastic on the windows so they could roll it up or down when it rained. So it wasn't too bad. So they took us off of the resort and we went out into the countryside, basically up into the mountains. And the tour company actually had some, what would you call it? Some residents that they work with, so that they'll stop and you can go in and see what a typical Dominican Republic house would look like out in the country. And then after that, they showed you the gardens, which included, you know, papayas and vanilla and cinnamon and bananas, coffee and chocolate. So they had a little bit of everything. They showed us how they would grind coffee and what the inside of a chocolate nut looks like, fresh off the vine, mm-hmm. breaking it open. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So that's where we started. So we went up and did that for a while, looked at the different things at the house. They got to sample some fresh coffee and some fresh hot chocolate and the local Dominican Republic aphrodisiac, which is called Mama Juana.
That sounds very familiar.
Yes, every resort has it. Everyone makes it a little different. Uh-huh. So that was kind of the thing, to stop at every resort and sample theirs and see which one we like best.
Wait, is this a smokable or a
drinkable? No, it's a drink. No. It's a drink.
Okay.
It just sounds like a smokable.
just clarifying.
It does. So yeah, basically it's just a big bottle full of roots and herbs and you mix it with honey and sweet red rind and white rum. And you just put the cap on and let it sit for a few days, drink it, and refill it.
That sounds horrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it horrible or was it delicious? Or was it somewhere in between?
It ranged from awful that you didn't want to take a second sip to really good.
So did it make you hallucinate?
She's still on the drug bender.
I'm giving you the munchies?
Yeah.
Well, that don't take much. But yeah, so sometimes you'd have it and it would have more of a wine taste. Some of the other places, it was very cinnamony, almost like a fireball. Yeah, so it was different everywhere you went.
I guess it just depends on what they put into that jar that they pour everything in.
Yeah. Yep.
So now
the first night we had it, it was terrible, and everybody swore they'd never try it again. But of course, the next day they did.
They forgot. They hated it. Now, is that something you can buy and bring home? Or?
No, I wouldn't think so.
I mean,
yes, I actually brought a bottle home.
Did you really?
Did you?
Yeah, from the place out in the country. They had them pre-bottled and... yeah, there was no problem. I just threw it in my checked bag and had no issues getting it home.
Have you tried it yet?
I haven't. No, I need to.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know.
Yeah, it sounds like you might not want to let it sit too long.
Maybe not. I went a little crazy at the duty-free shop, so I brought home quite a few bottles.
Well, I guess if you got different, yeah, that would be a great party. It's almost like a Beverly party. You have people come over and try all the different, see what happens.
Yeah, you could do that.
So after we went there, where they took us to a big open air pavilion where they cooked what they would normally eat. which was fantastic. So, you know, you got white rice and some kind of chicken that was all like braised in some sort of broth. And what else did they have? Fried plantains and fried tapioca, all different kinds of just their food. And honestly, that was probably one of the best meals we had all week.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Oh.
Yeah.
Like fried tapioca pudding?
That's what I thought at first, but I don't think it's pudding. I'm not sure what a tapioca is, but I'm not sure it's a pudding in whatever its natural form is.
It's like a bubble. Yeah, well,
it comes in like, you know, have you ever made it?
No, it never.
It comes dried in like small, like something the size of orzo, you know, like, and it's, you either have the regular tiny ones or the ones they call fish eyes, which are like small, little, tiny, itty bitty, round,
fish eyes,
hard things. Yeah, but they turn gelatinous when you cook them.
Like fish eyes. Yeah. Oh but my they're God.
Hard, they're hard when you cook. They're hard when you start.
Yeah, these actually have the shape of almost like a little mini pear.
Oh.
But
you know, into that. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what they told us it was anyway. So
you had to believe them.
Yeah, right. I know.
Who knows if you're eating?
Yeah. So we did that, and then the last stop of the tour was a little shop where they showed us how they would press sugar cane to make rum. Mm-hmm. So they had some oxen hooked up and they would, you know, put the sugar cane through the spindles and squish it. And then they moved us to the next area and they showed us how the first machines actually started to do it once they got rid of the oxen and became a little more modern with gas powered machines. And
wow.
Gave us a little bit of the fresh squeezed, I guess you'd call it sugar juice, which was for the most part pretty plain. It almost tasted like grass.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was one other building where they actually had somebody showed us how they rolled cigars down there.
Oh, cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Gave us some background on cigars and what the difference is between theirs and Cubans and how the whole import process works. And it was pretty interesting because being up here from Connecticut, we have always grown shade tree tobacco, which has always been great for the outer wrapper. And it was one of the ones that they actually had there to use.
Oh,
so yeah, that was kind of interesting. And then after that, we actually went horseback riding a little bit out through the countryside, basically a follow the leader type thing. But overall, it was pretty good, and the guides were fantastic.
That's a long excursion. Was that all day?
Yeah, yeah. They picked us up at what time? It must have been around 8:30, 8:45, and yeah, we didn't get back till four o'clock ish. So yeah, it was a pretty long day.
That's cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's not one where they try to kill you.
No. So, yeah. It's not a Sandy excursion. Sandy only likes almost dying on her excursions.
Like, you want how many people to fit on this ATV?
Yeah. So it sounds like Punta Cana is someplace you would go back to. Is that, you know, you feel like it was...
I probably would. I guess the interesting thing for being up here is that if I look at pricing, it's cheaper to go to Cancun. Mm-hmm. Just airfare from Hartford or Boston to Cancun is cheaper than it is to Punta Cana. So if the airfare is cheaper to get there and there's a much wider range of resorts and I haven't been to Cancun yet, but I've heard that the food down there is amazing. Mm-hmm. Whereas the food in Punta Cana was good to good and maybe a little bit better than good, depending on the restaurant, but there was nothing there that absolutely wowed you. So I guess for me, unless somebody said, hey, I definitely want to go to Punta Cana or I've been there in the past and I want to go back, I'd probably have a hard time recommending it over Cancun or Jamaica.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it is. And for us, it is sometimes a tough sell. People hear about it because it is also considered to be an inexpensive island. But the issue is
that you still have to be true.
And you still have to get there. You know?
Yeah.
Sorry about my cough.
Yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead.
And it was different for me because the last trip was to Sandals, where, as you know, there's no tipping.
Yeah.
So to go to all these resorts and suddenly you're trying to stuff ones in your bathing suit to tip the bar staff.
I did a Mark Travel Fam to Cancun, and that same thing happened to me. I was not expecting that I was supposed to tip, and they don't, you don't have to, but it is nope. kind of like everyone else kind of knew it but me, I felt like, and so, you know, you felt like you were kind of insulting the bartenders or the waiters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's something I tell people now. I'm like, yeah, I mean, unless it's sandals, I tell people you can bring some small bills and yeah, just mm-hmm. it's up to your discretion, but yeah.
Yeah, the different. Charisma resorts were supposed to have tips included as well, and AM resorts too.
Well, they all say they're all inclusive, but if they take tips, then you feel like you
right. But those brands mm-hmm. are not supposed to.
Well, I know when I was on my sandals fam, the BDM that was with us, the business development manager, was very strict about it mm-hmm. and said that if those people were caught taking tips, mm-hmm. they could be fired. Mm-hmm. And so then you don't even want to do that to mm-hmm. them because they could lose their job. So yep. you know. Yeah.
Yep. I've heard the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, George, for coming to visit with
thanks,
us.
Thanks, George.
Thank you.
That is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Flyaway. And if you want to get in touch with George, please leave us a message on the Flyaway page and we are happy to put you in touch. Thank you again, George, for coming. It was a pleasure having you on board tonight.
Thanks, ladies. Feel like I know all of you for the last 3 years.
On behalf of Sandy, Laura, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.